my children to come and not only be seated, but to enter into who I am. For I have called you and I have blessed you. I have placed my hands upon you. Come enter into my rest. Come enter in my joy. For there is fullness of life. You can be seated this morning. I'll give you the cue, Mickey, when we're coming back, because today begins a brand new chart in the history of who we are. Of who we are. 9 weeks ago, I did a standalone message. I was just going to do this one message and, fill in the blanks, and had it all timed with our series on Ruth in October that will not start in October. It's going to start in January, and we'll talk about that over the next couple of weeks. And there's reason for that. And it was really a word from the Lord from Mickey coming into my office one day. Why don't we do this? And I went, you know what? You were right on. And I did this message on kindness, that blue-collar Christianity, kindness is really blue-collar Christianity, where you roll your sleeves up and you get your hands dirty. It's what fruit of the Spirit is. And for the last now to being the ninth week, we end on this crescendo where I didn't do them in order. And we end this thing on joy. This morning when I woke up, I usually hit that snooze button and I pop out of bed. This morning I woke up and I hit the snooze button, but I didn't close my eyes. This morning when I woke up, my heart, and I hope it's the same as yours, that I get to say what David said. It's glad that I get to go to the house of the Lord. I get to come here today to meet with you. And God's here. I'm going to try to make it through today, okay? There is this thing in me now that I feel released like I've never felt released before in my life. Some circumstances have taken place which I rejoice in, because we're free. It is Sunday morning and I get to go to the house of the Lord because I get to meet with Jesus. My God is a good God. Is your God good? My God is a loving God. My God is a faithful God. My God is a long-suffering God. My God is a protecting God. My God is an avenging God. My God is a consuming God. And my God is jealous for you and for me. And He has a plan and He has a purpose in your life and in my life. And I don't want to miss it for me, and I don't want you to miss it for you. Am I pumped? Hallelujah. So, we're going to talk about joy today, okay? We're going to talk about joy. And to me, this is a totally oxymoron how this message came about at this time, at this day. So I have to ask the question, what is joy? It's mentioned 650 times in the Bible. When you talk about heaven, when you talk about hell, when you talk about giving, when you talk about love, when you talk about all those kinds of things, they're not even talked about this much. So it would tell us that it's something that you and I need to really look at. Amen? Okay, let's practice something real quick. Everybody smile for me real quick. Okay, all across. Okay, because some there, I was fixing to get toothpicks and hook them up and get them up like this, or turn you upside down so we get a smile, okay? Okay, I once read this story, and I forgot to take that out because I wrote it out for myself, about this little boy who was constantly getting in trouble at home. And his dad would always banish him to the upstairs room. And he would go up there, and when he knew his dad wasn't listening and had forgotten, he would open the window, he would climb out on the tree, and he would sneak down the tree, and he would run off and play. one day, and then he would come back and he would sneak back in, and one day he heard his dad say, "You know that tree out there has not borne fruit in a long, it's never borne fruit. Matter of fact, I'm going to chop that thing down. We'll plant somebody else." That put so much fear in that little kid, because he was not going to get to go out the window and climb down the tree, that he got a friend of his, and they went and got a whole bushel of apples, and they came and tied apples all over the tree. And that day, the guy comes home, and he says, honey, come here. Look, our tree finally bore fruit. It's a miracle. Apples on our pear tree. You know, it is kind of like that. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit in your and my life, and you cannot fake it. You either have it or you don't have it. You live in it or you don't live in it, and we know what joy is, right? And we know what it's not. When you have apples hanging on a pear tree, it's not real fruit. So what I want to do? I want to take some time. I want to look at the Word of God today. You have notes. Listen, I'm going to give you a lot of Scripture today. It's going to be like Bible study. Get those things out. Begin to read these things. Begin to meditate on these things. Begin to look these things up. This is the first one coming out of Psalms, and this is going to be our text for today. You, O God, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, the one who has come to live in my life, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, our pleasures forevermore. Ooh, I like that. I told a friend of mine yesterday that I was going to be using this verse, and this is that guy's favorite verse. He says, "Ooh, that's my verse." I said, "Yeah, I've heard you quote that 600 times. And I said, I'm going to steal your verse." He goes, "Yeah, but give it back, because that's my favorite." There's three things I want us to look at in this. One is to pick the pathway of life. Our first point. Our second point today will be pursuing the presence of His joy. Not your joy, but His joy. The third one is participate in the rivers of pleasure. You know, so I got to ask a simple question. What is joy? In the Old Testament, listen, this is what it talks about. The word for joy talks about gladness, talks about dancing, talks about leaping or spinning or twirling is what it talks about. It talks about creating a din. That means where, you know, you'll hear Mickey start playing lightly and then it gets louder and louder and builds to a crescendo. That's creating a din. It's always motion, lying, kneeling, prostrate, walking, dancing, leaping, twirling is what it's expressed by. So it's not just this deep feeling of joy deep down inside of us. It's something that comes out of us. You follow me? Okay. Well, Don, that's just a little bit too radical for me. I mean, leaping and twirling and dancing, that's just a little bit undignified. Dude, that's the whole point. I know this minister. Love him. He's incredible. His name is Daniel Brown. He used to pastor one of our Four Square churches up in San Jose area, and God has called him. Now he travels the world helping ministers in all different sections of the world. And I would love to have Daniel come in here someday. I mean, he's given a prophecy over me and different things. And Mickey and I first met him. The first time I ever met him was in California, but then Mickey and I went down to one of his things that he had in Dallas quite a few years ago, and he gives a word over me that, you know, just kind of was very humbling and that kind of thing. But he talked about one time he said, "There's somebody here that they need prayer, and God wants to heal you right now at this moment. Come forward." And it was something like cancer or something like that. And they got up there, and he got his oil out. And of course, he's shaking it up, so he gets it all nice and good. And he goes to lay hands on him, and God speaks to him and says, "Don't. Don't pray for them. I want you to dance around him." And he went, "What? I want you to dance around. I don't dance. I can't even do the two-step. I want you to dance around him." And he began to dance around this person. And that person was healed immediately. In his presence is fullness and joy. In his right hand is pleasures forevermore. Joy in the New Testament, it speaks about celebration. You know what Sunday morning is all about? It's about us coming and celebrating what he has done in our life, what he is doing in his life, and what he's going to do in our life this next week. It's where we come, we laugh, we cry, we celebrate with each other, we lick each other's wounds, we encourage one another, we edify one another. That is what Sunday morning is all about, so that Monday morning you and I can go and be the church in the marketplace. That's what Sunday morning is about. It's about celebration. The concept of the church is that it's boring today. Is that true? Well, no. Worldwide or nationwide, it is. I grew up, when it was, it hasn't changed because when I was 17, it was boring. We're having another revival, and we hear this guy's good, and I would pray, please don't let him be good. Because if he's good, we're going every night for 7 weeks. If he's bad, it's over in 4 or 5 days. You know, because it was like boring. And the church has that concept. Listen, if God created us, which he did, and he loves us, which he does, wouldn't he want to experience his joy, his pleasure? We have this idea that when God created the universe, that what he did, he got out of his celestial pan and he made his punch list. He went down and he went, and he's talking about all these pleasures, and he gets down on the bottom, and then at the top of that he goes, sin. Do not, 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 do not. And those are all the things that, don't go to the movies. That's the church I grew up in. I grew up in the church that the television was the one-eyed demon. And I remember when Dad came back from Vietnam and he took his combat pay and he went down and bought the first Zenith color television to hit our city, and everyone in our neighborhood came to our house to watch color television in our neighborhood, and the show that came on first that night that was in color was Batman. Pow, boom, bam, you know, and the house is full. Oh, but that's pleasure, that's sin. And so on and so forth and so on and so forth. Don't go dancing. Listen, I'll be real honest. If I could get my wife to go take ballroom dancing lessons, I would do it in a heartbeat. I love to watch two people dance where he becomes the picture frame to show her off. I love that whole thing. I'm the romantic of the family. You understand? Okay. Anyway, let's go on. When we think that we've missed the plan and purpose of God, when we think that way, we've missed it. We've absolutely missed who he is. Our problem is this: we confuse happiness and joy. They are totally different. Two different words. I'm not saying that life isn't hard. Anyone have a hard time in life? Two of us. Anyone having a hard time in life? All of us. All of us are having a hard time in life. Your problems are different than my problems. My problems are different than your problems. But all of us are having a hard time. But joy is different than happiness. And that's what we're talking about today. Because happiness is based on circumstances. It's not based on something inside of here. Okay? I got a microphone right here. And I want to hand it to Robert in just a minute. Because he's going to tell you a story about joy. Happiness is based on circumstances. I am happy, happy, happy.
I'm having a great day. I am happy. Oh no, I lost my job. I am sad. But I got a new boyfriend. I got a new girlfriend. I'm happy, happy, happy. I got rid of that boyfriend. I got rid of that girlfriend. I'm happy, 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 happy. I got a new car. I'm happy. I got the payment book. I'm sad. Happy, sad, happy, sad. It comes and it goes. But joy is the fruit of the Spirit, and it does not depend on circumstances. Robert, tell me about court. Stand up, brother. I need to take a water.
Good morning, everybody. I was sharing this with Pastor Don earlier this week about something that happened to me several years ago. I was speeding, and I got pulled over, and I got a ticket for speeding and not wearing a seatbelt. So I had worked all night Thursday night, and I had to go to court, traffic court, Friday morning. Now, this was down in Texas, and the state trooper that gave me the ticket, I'm sure he would have wrote his own mama a ticket, but anyway, I go in there, and I wasn't very happy about being up all night and having to go to traffic court the next morning. So I'm sitting there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and this guy walks in, and he has this big smile on his face. And he was like, "Hey, brother," he said, "how you doing?" I said, "Well, I've been better." Yeah. And he was like, "Man," he said, "I'm glad to be here." I said, "You're glad to be at traffic court?" I said, "Dude, you're too happy. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. I ain't even had coffee yet." He said, "Oh, no, no, no." He said, "I'm not happy." He said, "I got joy." I was like, "Joy?" He said, "Yeah, man." He said, "I got joy in the Lord." I said, "What do you mean you got joy in the Lord?" I said, "What is that all about?" Because I didn't know about Jesus or anything like that. And he says, "Well," he said, "first off, man," he said, "if you're here, that means you got a ticket, which means that you're probably planning on paying that ticket. That means you got a job." He said, "If you got a ticket, that means you were probably doing something in your car that you shouldn't have been doing. So that means you got a car, you got a job." He said, "You got joy, man." He said, "You're alive. You're here to pay the ticket." He said, "But you know what, man?" He said, "Joy is going to get me out of this ticket." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Because joy is on the inside." He said, "Happiness can be taken from you, from your circumstances, or from other people." He said, "But nobody can take my joy." I was like, "Okay, whatever. This guy is loony. He's going to shoot somebody. So I'm going to sit on the opposite side of the courtroom from this guy." Well, anyways, he gets up in front of the judge, and he was like, "Your Honor," he said, "I'm over 50 years old." He said, "I was speeding because I have a bad prostate." He said, "I got bad prostate." And he said, "I didn't know how much time I had left." He said, "I was trying to get to the exit as quickly as I possibly could." And the judge starts laughing, and everybody in the courtroom starts laughing. And the judge is like, "I'm going to dismiss this. That's just too funny." He said, "All I want you to do is pay court costs." Well, the guy comes walking down from in front of the judge. He looks at me. He points his finger and he winks at me and he goes, "Joy." So I was like, "Dude," when I got to go stand in front of the judge, I was like, "Your Honor, I got a prostate problem." And he's like, "That has nothing to do with your seatbelt violation." So I had to pay a $225 fine. So I found out what happiness was and what joy was. Thank you.
Between the two, listen, it doesn't matter how dark life gets, and it gets dark. But let me just give you one word over that, and dark, life does get dark. But our God in the Psalm says that He clothes Himself in our darkness because He's not afraid of our darkness. And the light of who He is will come into our normalcy, our darkness, and He will light the place up. What a God we serve. The joy of the Lord doesn't come from outside sources. It's in the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit, that Spirit, comes and He lives inside of us. So everybody raise your hand right now. Everybody. If you got your hand risen, guess what? The joy of the Lord is inside of you. Now how do we release it? That becomes the ticket. That's what we're going to do. It comes from the presence of the living God, and no one can take it away from you. This is what Paul says. Who can separate you from the love of God? The enemy, demons, problems, desires, all these kind of things. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the joy of Him, because He, joy, dwells and lives inside of you. For a moment, close your eyes. Picture the gigantic word joy in the middle of your being. And then all together say, I have joy. Ready? One, two, three. I have joy. And it's the fruit. It's Him. Amen? That is the kind of joy we are talking about this morning. He says this, You, Father, will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. How can we experience that joy in our life? One, pick the pathway again. Two, pursue the presence of joy. Three, participate in the rivers of pleasure. Whew. I was going, we're doing a pathway. Where can I do a pathway? Here we go. I'm just going to roll it up. Pick the pathway of life, number one. I want to walk the golden road to the celestial city. I want to do that. If you know what's going on, Father's already dropped something in his arm for a closing song. He's going to go look it up, okay? That's where Mickey's going. He's not hiding back there. He's got a bed. He's got all... No. What is the pathway of life? Jesus says this, the thief does not come except to what? Steal, to kill, and destroy. Everybody come, why does the thief come? To steal, to kill, to destroy. If there's something that's coming against you, something against coming against this church, something that's causing problems, then it is a demonic spirit sent by Satan to what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have what? Life, and that they may have it what? In full abundance. I want abundant life. We live life on the planet Earth, and there is an enemy, and we need to recognize it and be aware, but not live in fear, for greater is He who lives in me than what? He that's in the world. For the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination that would exalt itself against the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 10. My God is a good God. My God is a loving God. My God is a defending God. And my God is a strengthening God. But the enemy of our soul, who steals and kills and destroys our lives, we need to stand against that. But Jesus has come that we might have life, and we might have it to the full. I like my pockets to be full of money. How about you? And we went to, and I didn't get to put this video on. I just didn't have time to put it on. We went to Fiesta, Texas last Saturday. You know what that is? Okay, they have roller coasters there. But they have this other thing. And if you ever wanted to see Mickey as a real white boy, I mean real white boy, I mean white boy, go on a roller coaster with him and look back at him when it's finished, he's a white boy on the verge of turning green. Right, Marcy? I look back and I got scared. His roller coaster days were over. But Carol and I get off this ride, and there's these two big poles, and you see this rope coming down, and there's this two-seat thing. And I go, And I'm walking there as fast as I can. And Carol's going, "You're not going on that. You're not riding that. You're not riding that." And I'm not even listening. I'm just heading that way. "You're not riding that." And I go right up. Mickey's taking pictures. I go right up and I buy my ticket. I'm going, "Yes, sir." And I go, "Carol, you sure you don't want to go? You don't want to?" "Yeah, I want to go." Yeah, we dated on roller coasters. We get on that thing, you know, and they do this, and they got it. Marcy's got it. I mean, she videotaped it. You want to see it? I got it. She's got it. They just kind of do this thing to where it just kind of shoots you way up in the air. If I played it, what you'd do is you'd get to hear Marcy laughing. You really don't hear me screaming and crying. You hear Marcy laughing. And it just shoots you straight up. I wasn't really riding it for the thrill. Carol and I were just practicing for the rapture. Okay, anyway, we want to have life and have it to the full. It was so fun. Reading the scripture, it says joy in scripture is always accompanied by adjectives. What are those adjectives? Great joy, exceeding joy, joy unspeakable, full of glory. I mean, it's always expressive. It's fullness of joy that God wants you and I to live in, to have, to walk in, to be. But in order to have that, we must pick what? The pathway of life to begin to open up going down that way. So what is the pathway of life? Here we go. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments. And I have set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can right now, in a moment, just say, "Jesus, I ask you to come into my life." And you know what? He'll knock on your heart door, and He's right there. If you know Him, then He's saying this: love Him, choose life, do not choose death, choose blessing, do not choose cursing. He's telling us this: choose to live in accordance with my word. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my," what? "My joy," well, I thought the Holy Spirit had joy. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are what? The same. They're one. "My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be half," three quarters? Full. Completely full. Joy comes from living a life of obedience to the Word of God. Well, some of those things are real tough. Yeah, some of those things are real tough. But they're written out of love, that our joy might be full, and they're warnings, or they're things that we need to clip out of our life. Beware of this. Marcy was with Carol and I. We were in line for a roller coaster. And she said, "Don, would you explain to me goats and sheep and wolf in sheep's clothing?" Well, goats and sheep, I mean, that's real easy. Matthew 25, it says that God will divide in the last days the goats from the sheep, and He'll put the sheep on His right hand, the goats on His left hand. And to the sheep He will turn. He says, "When I was hungry, when I was poor, when I was in prison, when I was naked, when I was thirsty, you came and you clothed me. You came, you visited, you gave me water." And when were you like that? "When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." Sheep, go on to heaven. All right. Goats, you didn't do anything. You didn't follow me. You didn't accept me. You rejected me. Adios. And it goes to the other place. Wolf in sheep's clothing can be one of two things. And as I began to talk to her about this, something came out of me that I have never heard anywhere. I've already gone to a dean of a Bible college. I've gone to a guy in theology. And when I told them this, they go, "You know what? I've never heard that either. That came from God. But boy, it lines up," and they begin to give me scripture. One is can be someone who pretends to be a Christian and comes in and ravishes congregation. The other one was a sheep who never tamed the wolf inside of them and never put the wolf to death. And the wolf began to consume every good thing that God gave to them till all they were was sheep clothing. And they began to ravage everyone around them. Obedience to His Word helps us to put the wolf to death, to put the old man to death, to circumcise that, to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves, to follow Him. Amen? We online? Think about this. If there is a God, and there is a God, and He created this world, and He did with a voice. He gave us a blueprint for life that tells us how to live. When we built this church, Phil, right about where those doors are, Phil had this big stand that was up, and it had the blueprints of this building. Had the blueprints where every light socket was going to go, where every stud was going to go, where the toilets were going to go, where the sink was going to go. It had the blueprints where the windows were, the doors were, where the foundation, where the bolts were, everything. It had a blueprint. When we were looking at what we need to do next, where we need to go, it didn't matter if it was Chris when he came in wanting to know where the electrical went. He went to the blueprint to see how it was designed. When the guys came in to do sheetrock, all they had to do is look at that, where it was regular sheetrock, where it was firewall sheetrock. There was a blueprint laid out for this whole building, and God has given us a blueprint of life, and this is the blueprint. And this is where we go to, and in here is fullness of joy, and in here is abundant life, and this right here is God. Because God is His Word, and His Word is here. You want to know what God sounds like? You want to hear His voice? This is what He sounds like. For I love the world so much that I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. I did not come into this world to condemn the world, but through Him, through me, the world might be saved. That's what God sounds like. Well, He comes in a little squeaky voice. Only one time does the scripture say He comes in one little tiny whisper of a voice. Most of the time He comes with a loud booming voice. That ever happened to me? You? What are you doing, Don? You were watching. But anyway, His desire for us is to have fullness of joy. If you and I are not experiencing that, not walking in that, not living in that, it seems that maybe we strayed a little way from His blueprint. Ouch. Bible. You know what that stands for? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Before we're out of here, this is our instruction manual. This is what we're to look at. You want to know how life is to be lived in the fullest? It comes from that Word of God. He designed a pathway for you and I, and life is found in His Word. It is called the Book of Life. And the enemy comes what? To kill, steal, and destroy. His top priority is to steal your joy. Where do you think the negative thoughts come from? Where do you think those errors come from? See, the shield of faith protects us from the darts, the fiery darts that the enemy would want to steal. If we're not operating in our faith, the fiery darts hit us, and what? We lose our joy. There are two main reasons the devil comes, or two ways he comes, and we're going to look at those. A, the first one is this. He tries to steal our joy through sin. Are there pleasures in sin? Yeah, there's pleasures in sin. But it only lasts for a while till it ensnares you. Listen to what David says in the Psalms. When I refuse to confess my sins. And let me stop here right now. And let me tell you, there is a very, 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 very evil doctrine that is setting into the church world today
that once I get saved, I do not have to repent anymore because he dealt with my past, my present, and my future sin. And I don't have to do that anymore. Where some people will say, well, I know there's a thing called sin, but I really don't know what it is. And God took care of that, so I don't really have to ask. And I'm going to heaven anyway, whether I accept Jesus Christ or not, because he died and he doesn't wish anyone would go to hell. That is a demonic voice that is speaking. Listen to what David said, a man whose heart was after God. When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. Why would you think God's discipline was heavy on him? To make him feel worse or to cause him to turn? Any guesses? There you go. Good answer. A. Because of unconfessed sin, he lost his joy. But look what he pins in verse 5. Finally, I confess all my sins to you and stop trying to hide them. Do we do that? Constantly. We try to hide our sin. We want to blame it on someone else. Matt asked me a question the other day and I laughed. I said, that is the deceptive nature of sin. You can see sin when it's done to somebody else. You know when it's being done to you, but when you're doing it, it feels just fine. Finally, I confess all my sins to you and I stop trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. What is sin? It is rebellion. But look what happens when you confess it. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all of you's hearts are pure. The first joy stealer is unconfessed sin. Listen to what John says. For those that I love, God says, he said it in Revelations 3:19. One of those scriptures I memorized as a 17-year-old teenage kid. Memorize this one, Revelations 3:19. Whom I love, I will reprove, I will discipline, I will correct. Therefore, be zealous and repent. In other words, do it quick. The moment the wrong word comes out of your mouth. And listen, there should not be a cuss word coming out of anybody's mouth. I know the old nature is there, but we need to put that to death. Do I expect it to happen overnight? No, I don't. But be on the working platform of that, because when I bring out wrong words out of my deal, I bring reproach on the kingdom of God. And then if someone says it, don't let them go, oh, don't tell Pastor Don I said that, because you're covering their sin. Be quick. Father, I slipped. Forgive me. Allow me to be a man that my yes is yes and my no is no. That I protect and I guard and I do not bring reproach on the kingdom of God. Follow me? Anyone bored with me yet? Don't raise your hand. Number two. The second way the devil tries to steal our joy is through unresolved conflict. Hebrews says this, pursue peace with all people, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, just comma right there. I'm sorry. You know, Buddy goes over my typos with me in the morning, and you know, it's like he gets to get a double portion of this, but like what we laughed about this morning doing it, I said, what you read back there and what you hear right here are two different things, aren't they, Buddy? Because I'll be honest with you, the only thing I have written down is that. Everything in between is hot off the press from the Father. Pursue peace with all people, and this is one of those, and holiness. Without that holiness, no one will see God. What is that holiness? The moment Jesus Christ comes into my life, I am holy, because the Holy Spirit, who is holy, lives and dwells inside of me. The Kadesh. I cannot get any more holier than what I am. I can live holy. That's the difference. I need to line up what's inside here, out here, in the exterior. And those who have not accepted Jesus, there's no holiness there.
And for people to say, I don't need to accept Jesus to go to heaven, he grades on a curve. Here's one of those scriptures that says, listen, without me in living in your life, you're not going. Without which no one can see the Lord. Looking carefully, at least anyone falls short of the grace. At least any root of what? Bitterness springing up can cause trouble. And by this, unholiness, bitterness, corruption, causing trouble, many become defiled. I do not want to be defiled. That's why when it comes to gossip, stop it. Stop it now, because it defiles you. Where does the red brick road lead? Oh, when I looked up the pictures, I saw this one and I had to use it. If you notice, the yellow brick road with Dorothy, it starts out, but there's two roads, isn't there? There's the yellow brick road and there's the red brick road. If I was a true evangelist, my message today would be, two roads diverge in the middle of your life. You can choose the golden road to the celestial city or the red brick road to hell. But listen, as a Christian, I still have a choice whether to follow his golden pathway or to choose my own pathway that leads, if it doesn't lead me to hell, it leads me to the hellishness in life. Therefore, choose his pathway. Pursue, okay? Pursue the presence of joy. That's the number two thing. You will show me the pathway to your life, and the present, and your presence is fullness of joy. So if I want to walk in that, then what? I need to follow after, pursue after it. So my question becomes, how do we get to the place where joy is? Look at this scripture. But you are holy, enthroned in the what? Praises of Israel. We are Israel. We may not be Jewish. I can pass. I got the nose for it. We may not be Jewish, but this is what Paul says in Romans, that we have been grafted in. That not only are Christians, there's something become Jewish about us. His chosen people, a royal priesthood, a mighty nation. That's who we are. Doesn't mean we have to do the cow-killing thing and all that jazz. We don't have to do any of that stuff. Matter of fact, that would bring bondage, because him is freedom. So where is God's presence? When we praise and worship God, it brings us into the presence. So let me say this quickly. Don't be late anymore. Be here for praise and worship. Why? Because it's praises that enter us into his presence. Lateness, sometimes, I know there's circumstances I'll think the best, but sometimes lateness, it's what you're saying is being in your presence is not that important to me. I might not like the style of music or the praise and worship you have. Listen, Carol and I, when we were in Colorado Springs one time, I went with a friend of mine to a Nazarene church, and they do songs that we don't do here. And dude, the worship was incredible. Why? Because it was praise to him. Don't just sit there lackadaisical. Because joy is spinning, dancing, twirling, kneeling. You sit there, you're not entering into his presence. Participate. He says, come in. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Praise and worship is the doorway to his presence. I don't know how many times in my life, in my married life, that either I'm in the shower or I'm in the bedroom or I'm somewhere and I'm singing and my wife goes, would you just shut up? Why? Because I always want to be in his presence. I'm always doing that. It comes at you. And being a musician, there's more of it to you, that it just flows out you. Always a song coming out of your heart. And without realizing it, I'm in his presence more time. Well, God never speaks to me. Well, come into his presence
where there's fullness of joy and pleasures in his right hand forevermore. Quit listening to Rush Limbaugh. Quit listening to all that stuff. Quit listening to rock and roll. Quit listening to, you know, country. Quit listening to rap. Put on a tape. I listened to Paul Risser this last week. He was the president of Foursquare at one time when I first took this church. I've never laughed so hard in my life. He was such a comical guy. I'm listening to that, and Carol gets in the car, and she goes, "What? Who is that?" And I went, "That was Paul Risser." And I'm laughing because I have something playing. I'm getting to where now I detest Fox News, CNN, all of the things, because politics wants to suck my life away, and my life needs to be invested into the kingdom of God.
Right.
Because I cannot control where this world is going, and I do not want to control where this is going. What I want is to control my time and my passions, and I want to give those to the presence of God. Because I, listen, you know, if this country is spinning down, it's by his design. It's by his design. Because, and I'm not going to get into the end time jazz right now anyway, but listen, we're cranking down faster than we've ever cranked down. Russia has never had a foothold in the Middle East, and because of what our president has done, Russia now has a voice and a foothold in the Middle East. And Russia is Gog and Magog with Iran, and they march down. We're one step closer. That means there's an urgency inside of you and I to live a godly life and push the envelope, and there's a world that is dying out there. And if you're expecting them to walk in the door, they're not going to walk down the door. When they drive past this church on a Sunday morning, they don't even look and say, "Oh, I'm so glad they're over there in church today." This is where we come and celebrate. There's where we go work. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And why is that so important? Because the joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. Why do we have so many defeated and weak Christians that don't stand for who they are? Because they don't have his joy. Because we don't have the joy that the Lord gives us, and that's where strength comes from every day. When circumstances are dark, when we experience loss and pain and suffering, we need the joy of the Lord that comes from being in his presence, which comes from what? Praising and worshiping him. Be a worshiper in every area of your life. Well, is that just singing? No. Worship, part of your worship is when you are at a store and the lady behind the counter is sad that day and you give an encouraging word. Worship is when I'm in a store yesterday and the lady can barely walk and I take her by the hand and shock her and I pray for her foot. Worship is standing in line in a roller coaster where I have Marcy pray and get down on her knees and pray for a young man's foot while I speak words of life to his girlfriend that day that captivated. That is what worship is. Worship is my tithes and my offerings. Worship is my relationship with my children and my wife. Worship is way more. It's not just a word. It's a broad brush stroke that I need to be worshipful of him in every area and every facet of my life. Then there's this. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, I will abide him. He will bear much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be what? He wants your joy to be full. Throw the punch list out that he's put sin over the top. Throw it out and enjoy him and who he is. We're kind of like the styrofoam cup. You know what that is? We're empty and devoid of everything in our life. Nothing. Just vessels. But when we come and we are full of him, immersed of him, we are full of what? Joy. Okay? Give you the answer here. Water. Yeah. Spirit of living kind. But you know what? I like what Charles Spurgeon says. Whoops. We leak. We leak, which means we need to what? Stay in him, in his fullness. Because when we quit and we walk away, we leak. And we're human, and I leak. And I just don't want to be a floater, half in and half out, riding the fence. I want to be full of Him. We're like a styrofoam cup. Number three, we're going to hurry through this. I still have 12 minutes. Number three, participate in the rivers of pleasure. At your right hand are pleasures. Do you love that picture? Man, I saw that picture on Google and I just went, look at that. It's like heaven raining down on this place. Just to be by one waterfall, we used to go to this place called Sacred Falls on the north shore of Oahu, and you had to backpack in. You can't go there. They've got it all closed off now. But man, we used to walk for several miles through the jungle to get to and to see this waterfall. But imagine countless waterfalls. God wants us to participate in the rivers of pleasure. So let's just take a minute to meditate on this awesome truth. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drinks from the river of your pleasure. I don't know about you, but I want to be real thirsty all the time because I want to drink from those rivers. And I never want to be satisfied to where I can come out because I leak. But I want to be completely immersed in Him. Will that happen? No, I'm only human. And all of us do stupid things and say stupid things and think stupid things. But when we realize it, be quick, repent, come back to His presence. Mickey, you and the band want to just come on up. Why do people put their trust in the Lord? Simply by this. Because of His loving kindness. His kindness draws people to repentance. We do that song. Because it's better, His kindness is better than life. For those who trust in God's loving kindness, we are abundantly satisfied. People search for the abundant life, and it comes in all kinds of venues. And we know that. Drugs, sex, rock and roll, greed, money, all kinds of things. There is only one in this life who can satisfy the longing and the deepness of our heart. And that's the presence of the living God. To be in His presence. If we could allow the presence of God to transform us into people of joy, we would literally draw other people to the kingdom. I love being around people that have this major outlook on life and they're full of joy. I don't really like being around people who are like, I want to be around fullness. Story of the prodigal father. Just a quick deal, and they're going to lightly just play. Story of a kid that comes to his dad. I hate you, and I hope you die. And I don't even want to wait till you die because I want my money. And I want it now. And the father gives him money. He gives him his inheritance. And he goes and lives it riotously. And we don't really know what that means. We just know he blew through the money. The brother says it's because of drink and prostitution. We don't know that to be fact. We just know that's what the brother says. But in the pig pen, when he comes to his senses, he comes back to the father. And when his dad sees him a long way off, he runs. And he does something a Jewish father never did, is put his arms around him and hold him. Get a new robe, get new shoes, put a ring on the finger. That calf out there that we've been saving for the daughter's wedding, it's barbecue time. He turns to the other son and says, "We must rejoice, for my son that was dead is now alive. For he was lost, is now saved." And it says they had a party. They just didn't have a party. They had a parting reading. And they danced. They twirled. They spun. They rejoiced. There was celebration. God wants us to be party kind of people. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice again. It is a choice. You choose. Jesus said, your heart will rejoice, and your joy nobody can take from you. And nothing and no power can steal it unless you allow it to be stolen. One last story. If you want to turn with me, that's fine. If you just want to listen and mark it down, that's fine too. But in 2 Samuel, story, and let me give you just a hair big background to it, just real quick. Saul has been killed. The ark is in Philistine hands. David becomes king at 30 years old, and he is anointed with oil. They attack Jerusalem, which has been taken by the Jebusites, overthrow them, begin to build the temple for David to live in, and they realized that the ark, the presence of God, was not in Jerusalem. And David goes to get it. And verse 12, it says this, "Now King David was told the Lord had blessed the household of Obed-Edom." Who is that? See, they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant. And of course, it was supposed to be carried on staves. And as they were to carry it, they didn't do that. They disobeyed. David had it put in a wagon. The wagon going through a riverbed goes sideways. The ark almost falls. And one guy reaches out to stabilize it. And God's wrath burnt on him and he fell dead. And the procession stopped. David did have a bodyguard, Obed-Edom, that lived right up the hill. He says, "We're going to go put that ark at his house." And they take it and they store it at his house. Now, King David was told that the Lord had blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went down and he brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps and sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf, David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while the entire house of the Lord of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of triumph. And the ark of the Lord was entered into the city of David, and Micah, daughter of Saul, watched from the window, saw the king leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Let's pick up the story. Use the dice. Put the ark here. It's there for quite a while. And everything that Obed-Edom did was blessed because of the presence of God, and he knew it. Reading in 2 Kings and reading in Chronicles, we fill in the blanks to where when they took the ark, Obed-Edom went with them leading the procession because he did not want to be out of the presence of God. When they finally brought the ark to a tent, He became a gatekeeper at the tent because he wanted to be in the presence of God. When he was off duty, he was a servant going around cleaning the grounds around because he did not want to be away from the ark. And then his real job was to be a bodyguard to David. And here was a man that understood the presence of God, that he gave up everything to be around the presence of God. And David brings this ark into the city. And when he does, there is joy. There is spinning. There is dancing, ripping off his outer coat and his wife mocking him. God loves it when his children experience his joy and are set free. For the Lord your God in your midst will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with singing. Listen to what that says. Let's do it one more time and get this here. Last scripture you're going to see. The Lord your God in your midst. Right here, right now, as we're gathered, where two or three gathered, he is here, his presence is here. He will rejoice over you with what? Gladness. And he with rejoice with what? With singing. Listen. The same voice that Job says when he sang, stars came out of his mouth. With the same voice out of the same mouth, the creative power of God flowing through the universe and creating every galaxy, every Milky Way, everything that is out there, this earth, with that voice is the same voice, the same creative power that is singing over you this morning as we sing with him. So stand up this morning and begin to sing with him and come into his presence in the fullness of joy of who he is. And if you want to dance, dance. If you want to whirl, whirl. If you want to lay on the floor like I did earlier, do it. Because this is how we end. You want the joy of the Lord? You want to overcome life? You want the strength and the power? This is it. You want healing? If there's something, an area of your body, in your life, that you need healing, then begin to dance before him and allow his power to begin to flow through you. Ooh. You need wisdom. Begin to lift your hands. Begin to worship him and pray. Because James says, if you will ask me, I will give it to you. If you need guidance in this your life, then come before him and worship him in his presence because he shows you the pathway of life. If you need direction wherever you need, begin to worship him today. Throw away what everybody else thinks. Well, it's not dignified. That is the whole point. The Creator's voice is about to sing over us as we sing with him. Amen. Mickey, lead us in a song.
I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. Oh, more than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you more. Come on, say it again with me. I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more. Than ever before, I need you more. I need you, Lord.
More than the air I breathe.
More than the next heartbeat.
Oh,
more than anything, and Lord, as the time goes by, I'll be by your side. 'Cause I never want to go back to my my old life. I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before.
Father, we worship you. We give you praise. Father, speak to anybody today? Then be obedient to what he's called you to do. We live in a time that the world is becoming very foggy and the line between light and darkness is being so smudged that it's important that we be drawn to him. May you experience the fullness of who he is. May you feel the presence of Father this week like you have never felt it before. May your ears be open to him as he speaks, either in a small voice or a booming voice. May clarity come to you about who you are and what your destination is in this life. A word was spoken over me or to me a couple of days ago, about a week and a half ago, and this was it. I have not forgotten the promises that I made to you, Don. In fullness of time, when it's right, you're going to see me unfold those promises that I made to you a long time. I have not forgotten. A person came to me this morning and said, God gave me a word for you. Stay the course. Don't worry. You know why? Because I don't have any other place to go. I'm like Peter here. This is where God has planted me. And this is what I am called to do. And he did not call me here to be defeated, but he brought me here to be a light, his light, in a beacon of darkness to hurt people. I will work with hurt people, and I will continue to work with hurt people because I want them healed. Amen? Have a great and wonderful day as we sing one more time. Take us away, Nikki.
Never before have I felt so alive.